Welcome to Gemara Markings. Today's shiur is Eruvin Daf Pei Zayin. Don't forget to click on the Daf option in order to view a marked Daf Gemara for today's shiur. If you are not fully familiar with our Gemara marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our home page. If you are already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief 4-minute introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the Daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the marked Daf Gemara before the shiur. If you wish to be in touch with us, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. We begin today's shiur at the Mishnah that you will find about a third of the way down Daf Pei Zayin. Before we begin the Mishnah, let us glance at the diagram in the Pirush Chai. We're looking at diagram number 95 on page 186, the lower part of the page. You see a stream that's flowing into an area on either side of which you have houses and a courtyard. The Mishnah will deal with the issue of, can one draw water from this stream in light of the fact that this stream might be considered a karmelis, and drawing from a karmelis into a Rishus HaYochid is something forbidden to do on Shabbos. Is there a solution? Is there a way to, let us say, separate the area of water near the houses from the rest of the stream that is upstream, in effect? So now we can turn to the Mishnah. Amas Hamayim Shehi Oiveres Bechotzer. A stream, and Amas Hamayim is a stream that's flowing into a courtyard. Ein Memalim Himeno B'Shabbos. One cannot draw water from the stream to the courtyard, which in effect is going from a karmelis to a Rishus HaYochid. Elo Im Kein Osu Lo Mechitza Vo Asoro Tfochim Beknisa Uvayetzia. Unless you do what you see illustrated in 96, what you see there is in addition to the wall that's running across the top of the stream, there is a mechitza, another wall built lower down below, within the rim of the within the banks of this stream. That mechitza must measure 10 tfochim high, as well as going across the stream. This must be constructed at the point of entrance and at the point of exit. That's, in other words, what you see in 95. In addition to what you see in 95, you would have this mechitza built underneath the wall running across. Rabbi Yehuda Omer. Rabbi Yehuda says, you don't need to do what's illustrated in 96, the additional mechitza. Kosel shel al gabo, the wall running across the top, tidon mishum mechitza. That will, in effect, be considered the mechitza separating the rest of the stream, namely that which is upstream and that which is downstream from the area contained within the walls. Omar Rabbi Yehuda, Maise ba'amo shel evel. Evel is the name of a place. It was an incident involving the stream in Evel. Shehoyu memalin mimeno al pi zikene b'Shabbos, that they drew water from the stream to their courtyards on Shabbos. Omru lo, mipnei shelo hoya bo kashiur. The Rabbonin responded, the reason they were able to do that is because the stream was less than 4 tfochim across. It was a very narrow stream. Hence, it did not have the status of a karmelis. However, if it had the width of 4 tfochim, that would already make it, the stream, into a different domain, which we call a karmelis, and unless you would have the constructed mechitza, the drawing of the water would not have been allowed. It's maybe obvious, but what Rabbi Yehuda was trying to say was that they were in that Amas Hamayim and Evel, they were drawing without having made any additional mechitza. And the Rabbonin responded to Rabbi Yehuda, well, that's no proof, because the case there was, it was a narrow stream. Tonu Rabbonin. We have a Tanaic source that reflects basically that which we saw in the Mishnah in a slightly more elaborate fashion. Asu lo b'knisa v'lo asu lo b'yitzia. If they made a mechitza at the knisa, the entrance to the area between the courtyards, and did not make a mechitza at the exit point, or vice versa, asu lo b'yitzia v'lo asu lo b'knisa, ein memalin himeno b'shabbos. You cannot draw from such a stream. Elo in kein asu lo mechitza sarat vochem b'yitzia u'b'knisa. Unless you made the necessary innovation, as is illustrated in 96, both at both ends, at the entrance to the area between the courtyards and the exit point. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Koysel Shal Gabo Tidon Mishul Mechitza, the existing wall that runs across the top of the stream, as we saw in 95, that is enough. Om Rabbi Yehuda, Maisa Ba'ama Samayim Shosa Bo Me'eva Letzipori. There was an incident involving a stream flowing from Evel to Tzipori. These are names of places. And they drew water from that stream with the approval of the rabbis. Omrulo, so those who were opposing Rabbi Yehuda said, Misham Raya, are you trying to bring proof to your position from there that you don't need an additional mechitza? There's no proof from there. Rather, Mitnei Shelo Hoysa Amuka Asora Tfochim Verochba Dalid. The reason there is that it was lacking it was a very small body of water, a very small stream. It didn't have a depth of 10 tfachim, and it didn't have a width of 4 tfachim. Once it's less than 4 tfachim wide, it's not considered a separate reshus, a reshus b'fnei atzma, but it would rather be considered what we might term a mokom p'tur, a domain that is part of the area in which it flows. Tanyo Idoch. We continue with another Tanaic source, and for this we would refer to illustration 97. In other words, in the middle of page 187 in the Pirush Chai, you see a stream of flowing by houses, and there's a bank to the stream between the houses and the body of water. So the source reads as follows: Amas Hamayim Hoveris Bein Hachalonos, a stream passing by windows, Pochos Mishlosha, Mishal Shilduli Mamale. Now, the exact case, even though we saw a picture, the Gemara will have to clarify what these dimensions are referring to. The source itself simply says if something is less than 3 tfochim, mishal shel dili mamai, one can lower the pail and draw water. Gimel, if it's 3, ein mishal shel dili mamale. Rabbi Shimon Gamliel, oimer pochos mitalid mishal shel dili mamale. Rabbi Shimon Gamliel has a different statistic. He says if it, and again, it's vague at this point, we don't know what these numbers are referring to. All he says that if it's less than 4, you can mishal shel to lower the dili, the pail, umamale, and draw water, fill up the pail that way. Dalid, if it's 4, then ein mishal shel dili umamale, then you cannot draw water with the pail. B'mai askinon. Here, the Gemara tries to clarify, what are we talking about? Before we go further in the Gemara, let us just glance at the side to see what some of the points that the Gemara will bring out. Number one, Shi'ur Karmelis. We're going to be dealing with the dimensions of a Karmelis. And we've made already numerous references to that already. Number two, Lahachlif Derech Mokom Ptur Bein Shnei Rishios. A mokum tur is a domain, if you will, or it's a dimension. It represents a dimension that is not a rishus hayochid. It's not a rishus rabba, nor is it a karmelis, but rather it's literally a place of permission, of innocence, and you have this kind of this. Place called a mokum ptur, which generally speaking is something that is 10 tfochim of height and lacks and less than 4 by 4 tfochim. So if you have something like that, and it's Bein Shtei Rishios, it's positioned between two domains. Now, between what two domains might you have this Mokom Ptur? Well, it might be between Rishios Doraisa, between a Rishios HaYochel and Rishios HaRabim. Or it might be between two, it may be between a domain that's rabbinic, between a Carmelist, let's say, and a Rishios HaYochel. Let's now turn to the Gemara. B'mai Askinon, the numbers that we saw in this source, the source dealing with the stream running by the windows, what are the numbers referring to? E lemo ba'amas hamayim gufa, if you think that the numbers are referring to the stream itself. Well, if that's the case, then we will run into a problem. That which Rav Dimi says in the name of Rabbi Yochanan, Ein Carmelis Pchusa Midalit. Something cannot be labeled a Carmelis if it's less than four Tvachim. Lemo Ketanoi Omra Lishmaitzi. Should we say that what he says at Rabbi Yochanan's definition is really a Tanaic controversy? Should we say that? Of course, we would prefer not to say that. We would prefer to think that Rabbi Yochanan, in saying that a Carmelis cannot exist at less than four Tvachim, is something unanimous. But if you say that the Machlokas in this source between the Tanakama and Rabbi Shimon Leo is a reference to the stream itself, insofar as defining it as a Carmelis or not, what do we end up saying then? We end up saying that Rav Shimon ben Gamliel says that if it's less than four, so it's not a Carmelis. If it's four, it's a Carmelis. But what about the Rabbanon? The Rabbanon are in effect saying that if it's three across, then it's a Carmelis. That's not what Rabbi Yochanan was saying. Well, having said that, that's an untenable position for right now. Ella, here we continue stage two, and we have a diamond that appears, and on the side of the Gemara, we note that this structure continues until Amud Beis. These are three pirushim, b'ma cholkim chachom v'shum b'mokor, de'amas amayim. Three opinions as to what Rav Shimon Leal and the Chum are arguing about in this source that we entitle Amas Amayim. That's the beginning of the source. B'shiur, number one, we'll see B'shiur Ha'agapayim. They're arguing about the banks, the size of those banks. Number two, Rochav Amas Hamayim Gufa, the width of the stream itself. And number three, Nifki. Nifki is something that's illustrated in illustration 98. It's a reference to the gates, or the fence that's built at the entrance and exit point of the stream. And we'll be able to elaborate on that more when we get to it. So, again, in the source we saw Machlokas between the Tanakama and Shulam Leo, something about three versus four. So the Gemara says, Elo be'agapeo ulahachlif. The issue is defining the, we're going to, first of all, work with the assumption that the stream in this discussion is a Carmelis, meaning that the stream, according to everybody, at least at this point, is four Tvachim across, at least that. So, that being the case, you can't draw directly from the stream with a bucket and bring it from the stream directly into the window, into the Rishus HaYochid. What option might exist? The option that exists is to draw the water from the stream and then have it placed on the agapel, on the banks. Once it stops there, so the banks, if we define them as what we call a mokum ptur, so then you can then pull up the water then from the banks, once it's settled on the agapel, then take it into the house. So what we call this is a transition point, we'll say. A place in the middle where it stops, and then you continue the movement after. It's after it stops, you resume the drawing of the water. So now the Gemara. So the Machlokas would be regarding the dimensions assigned to the agapel for the purposes of lahachlif. Lahachlif is this, using it as a transfer point. So that if the agapayim themselves don't have a width of significance, and that is the machloikis, you could then use it as the mokum tor, the transfer point. So how would that work practically speaking? According to the Tanakhama, if the width of the agapayim are less than 3 tvachim, you could draw water from the stream, have the pail sit on the agapayim that are less than 3 tvachim, and then draw the pail into the window after it stopped on the agapayim. And according to Rav Shulam Leo, even if the agapayim are 3 tvachim, as long as they're not 4 tvachim, you could draw the pail in. The main point, though, is that according to both opinions, the issue is using the agapayim as a transfer point. And the controversy is what will its dimensions be in order to use it as such. The Gemara asks, V'ha kiyosa Rav Dimi, Amar of Yochanan, Mokoim she'ein bo arbo arbo, muter livnei rishus ha-yochid, livnei rishus ha-rabim, l'kasef alov, o'bavad shelo yachlifu. We have a statement of Rabbi Yochanan that a location and that is less than 4 by 4 tvachim, it is, and it's positioned between a public thoroughfare and a private domain, the public can use it for resting their packages, and the private domain, if they want to put something out of their house and rest it on this mokum she'ein bo arbo arbo, they can do that as well, provided, and here we dashed underlined, without shelo yachlif, provided they do not use it as a transfer point. So, according to the explanation we're giving to the source, we're in effect saying the issue is one of using the agapel as a transfer point, but you're not supposed to use this minimum size domain, this negligible size domain, as a transfer point. The Gemara answers, Hosam, in the case of Rabbi Yochanan's din of Shelo Yachlifu that we just read, Rishuyo Storaisa. That's because the Mokom Ptur, this negligible size domain, is situated between two Torah level domains, between a Rishus HaYochid and a Rishus HaRabim. And it would not be right, rabbinically speaking, would not be right to, in effect, carry things from one domain to the other using the Mokum Ptur as a means to accomplish that. It would be sort of it doesn't look good, and hence the rabbis, Rav Yochanan says, do not do that. Don't use the Mokum Ptur as a transfer point between two Torah-level domains. However, in the case of the stream, Rishuyos the Rabbanan, you're dealing with rabbinic domains, namely, the stream is a Carmelis. To take something directly from a Carmelis into a private domain is something prohibited only on a rabbinic level. Hence, our leniency of drawing from the Carmelis to a Rishus HaYochid using the agapel as a transfer point, that's acceptable. The Gemara asks, and note, this is a very long question. What we've just done in the Gemara till this point is, in effect, defended Rabbi Yochanan's halacha of Ubuvad Shelo Yachlifu in light of this case of the Amasamayim that suggests the Agapayim are allowed to be used as a Yachlifu, as a transfer point. The Gemara now asks, If you think you just defended Rabbi Yochanan, we have news for you. Rabbi Yochanan said his din of Shelo Yachlifu even in the case of rabbinic domains. And you need to go through quite a few lines of Gemara in order to see this point. But with our markings, you can see how we've dashed, underlined certain phrases. And at the end of the long question, you can see Rabbi Yochanan is saying, Uvavad Shelo Yachlifu. And here we'll be talking about something of a rabbinic nature. So now let's go through the Gemara. V'ha Rabbi Yochanan, b'rishios de Rabbanan nami omar. Rabbi Yochanan himself said his din of lo yachlifu even in domains that are rabbinic. Disnan, we have the following source: Koisel shebein shnei chatzeros, kavar sor tfochem v'rochav arba, ma'arvin shnei vein ma'arvin echad. This is a source that we have seen already a number of times in recent dapim. We're describing a wall between two courtyards, the wall having the dimensions of 10 tfochim high, 4 tfochim wide or thick, and as such the two courtyards are separated. They make their own two separate eruvin, and they cannot join together. Hoyu Barosho Peros, let's say at the top of this wall, measuring 4 tfochim in thickness, there were fruits. Elu Olin Mikan V'Ochlin, V'Elu Olin Mikan V'Ochlin. The members of the respective courtyards can climb to the top of the wall, and on the top of the wall, enjoy those fruits. Nifratz HaKoisel, if the wall developed a breach, Ad Eser Amos, Marvin Shnei Vein, Imrotsu Marvin Echad. A breach up till 10 Amos allows them an option to join together, and if they choose not to, so they can make separate Eruve Chatzeros and not join together. Mipnei Shu Kepesach, because a breach up till 10 Amos is considered like an entranceway, and as such, these two possibilities exist. Yoser Mikan, if the breach is greater than 10 Amos, Ma'arvin Echod Ve'ein, Ma'arvin Shnayim, then it's as if there's no wall whatsoever, and these two courtyards have to make a joint Eruv. They have to combine their Eruv and forming one entity. V'havinon bo. And we ask, Ein bo arbo amai. What about the koisel that is less than 4 tvachim thick? Now, you can see we dashed underline this, so you can see how this contrasts with the rochav arbo that we dashed underline a number of lines before. So the same wall, let us say, that's why also we have arrows in the space to the immediate right-hand side of the Gemara text. You can align the cases. Let's say that same wall doesn't have 4 amos of 4 tfachim of thickness. What's the din? Omar Rav. Rav tells us Avir Shnei Rishuyos Sholetes Bo. The airspace of the two courtyard domains. Rishuyos are the two domains, the two courtyards. Sholetes Bo literally means rule over it. In other words, you have two conflicting domains now in one spot. Velo yozis bo melo nimo, and you cannot move anything on that wall, even a hair's breadth. Rabbi Yochanan Omar, eilu malin mikan v'ochlin, ve'elu malin mikan v'ochlin. Since the wall is so narrow, it's less than 4 amos thick, it's not considered a domain unto itself, but rather each chutzer can put things onto the top of the wall. And here we've written between the lines that which is very important. And it's mashma, all they're allowed to do, according to Rabbi Yochanan. And here we dashed on the line, Rabbi Yochanan again, because we're focusing on his opinion. He says that you can put stuff on top of the wall, but you can't then transfer stuff you on one side, put on the top of the wall, down to the other side. It cannot be used as a transfer point. Then that's the heart of our discussion. Use of, and of course we're dealing with a rabbinic area of law. There's all of this is technically speaking a Rishus Hayochid. It's a private area. It's enclosed. However, it's since we're dealing with courtyards, which are called semi-public in their nature, so the rabbinic rules of Eruv Chatzeros sets in here, and we're telling you, you cannot use this narrow wall as a transfer point. V'ozdo Rav Yochanan Tamei, Rav Yochanan in saying what he just did is consistent with what he's said elsewhere. The V'ozdo Rav Dimi, I'm Rav Yochanan. When Rav Dimi came, he told us the name of Rav Yochanan, Mokom Shein Bo Arbo Al Arbo, Mutur Livnei Rishus HaRabim, Livnei Rishus HaYochid, Lekasef Olov. This is exactly what we saw quoted before, that a pole or some type of entity that is less than 4 by 4 tvachim, the public can use it and place their packages on it, and the people in the Rishus HaYochid can do the same. Uvavad, Shelo, Yachlifu. And again, we dashed underline that. What are we talking about? We're saying in this discussion that even in a rabbinic realm, like the case of the thin wall, Uvavad, Shelo, Yachlifu. So if that's the case, how are we going to explain the case of the river and the stream with the banks? The Gemara answers, Hahi Ze'iri Omra. The halacha of the narrow wall, that all they're allowed to do is put oichlin on the wall. They can put stuff up but not use it as a transfer point. That's not Rabbi Yochanan. That's Ze'iri. But as far as Rabbi Yochanan is concerned, you could, because it's a rabbinic realm. The Gemara asks, Ulaziri Kashiaha. Well, what about Ze'iri now? So Ziri is saying you cannot use a narrow wall as a transfer point between two chatzeros, even though it's a rabbinic area of concern. What does Ze'iri do with the source illustrated in 97, the stream running by the windows? How does he deal with that? How does he explain it? The Gemara answers, Ze'iri moikim lo. Ze'iri will explain that source, which features a machlokis rabbonon and Rab Shimon Gamliel, our source, be'amas hamayim gufa, as they're arguing about the width of the stream itself, in basically defining a karmelis, what are the dimensions of a karmelis, ve'ravdimi tanoihi. And that which Rav Dimi said, that ein karmelis p'husa midalid, that is, according to Ze'iri, that is a machlokes tanoim. Namely, Rav Dimi's claim that ein karmelis p'husa midalid works out only according to Rav Shimon ben Gamliel. Whereas the Chachomim will tell you that there a karmelis exists once you have a mere 3 tvachim of width. Now the Gemara asks a question. Even if the stream is very narrow, which we seem to be saying that if the stream is very narrow, so then there's no problem whatsoever. The whole problem comes up, the need to use the agapayim is because the stream is a karmelis. The Gemara asks, v'tehevei ki chorei karmelis. Let the stream be viewed literally here, the literal translation as the holes of a karmelis. Before we go any further in the Gemara, there is a concept of chore rishus harabim, or chore rishus hayochid. That comes up in a case of a public thoroughfare and a wall that runs alongside a rishus harabim. And let's say there's a small hole in that, and a person stood at a distance of 4 amos away from this wall in the public thoroughfare and threw something, and it landed in that hole. That is considered as if it landed in the Rishus HaRabim, because the hole, assuming that it's less than 10 tefachim from the ground, it's within the airspace of the Rishus HaRabim, and throwing into it is considered as if it landed in the public thoroughfare. So there is a concept of chorei Rishus HaRabim. Why not look at the stream and the area, let's say, between the houses where the stream is running might be very narrow, but beyond the area, upstream and downstream, where the stream is no longer included in the, we'll call it the fenced-off area, is it not a karmelis over there? So why not view the area of the stream near the houses as if it's an extension of the rest of the stream? And as such, it would be called chore karmelis. Once again, restricting our abilities of drawing water from it. Just to go over the point again, even though we're sounding a bit repetitious, we suggested that the whole problem is because the stream is a karmelis, and therefore you need to use the agapayim as a transfer point. leaving us to think that if the stream is very narrow, there is no problem whatsoever. Here the Gemara is asking, let's read the Gemara, Veteve ki chore karmelis. The Gemara answers, Abaye bar Ovin, v'Rabbi Chanina bar Ovin, the Amitravai, both say, Ein chorin le karmelis. This concept of chorin, of holes, attached to a karmelis, being like a karmelis, is not to, we don't accept that. In other words, we're not so stringent when it comes to a karmelis. Rav Ashi Omar, afilu temo yesh chorin le karmelis. Rav Ashi is a second opinion, and he says, even if you claim that there are holes to the karmelis, we'll call it karmelis extension, how then would we be able to infer that if the stream were less than the three or four tochim, you'd be able to draw from it? Hanimili besmucha. The concept of chorin the karmelis, that's if something is right up against it, adjacent to the karmelis. Ocha b'muflegas, but here you're talking about something that is far away. In other words, the stream that is between the houses is very narrow. Somewhere way upstream or downstream, maybe it's wide over there, but that's far away. And since the widening of the stream, the wider area is far away, the area near these houses is not a problem. Now, we continue with number three diamond, and this is also, we look at illustration 98. What we're trying to do here, being that we have a number three, and also you'll notice there's a semicolon in the Gemara that shows you that this is a throwback to something earlier. We're dealing with the numbers that were in the source, the three and the four that were in the source on Amud Aleph. So Ravina Omar kagon to Oved Lo Nifki Apuma. The Rashi explains, Ravina Omar, Hai Shi'ura, the Gimel V'Dalid, Rabbanim Rishim Amliel, the three and four Tvachim that they were arguing about, Lo B'Shi'ur the Amagufa, it's not dealing with the width of the stream itself, Lo V'Agapel, and not dealing with the size of the banks, V'Hachlif, and the issue being using it as a transfer point. That's not what that's not how to explain it according to Ravina, but rather, Rashi goes on, the Elad Ovad Lo Nifki Motzos. He made these gates, as you can see illustrated in 98. And we had said earlier that in order to enable one to draw from the stream, you'd have to make a mechitza at the beginning and a mechitza at the end of the area between the walls, setting off the chotzer from the rest of the area. So when in this case he's making these gates, however, it's not a solid gate across. There's a gap between them, as you can see illustrated in 98. And the machlokas is up to what size gap will it still be considered an effective fence closing off the stream in a halachic sense. So, reading the Gemara again, Ravina Omar kagon to Ovad Lo Nifki Apuma. Apuma means literally at the mouth, but it's at the entrance point and at the exit point. V'ozdu Rabbonon l'tamei, Rav Shimon ben Gamliel l'tamei. Each one of them, the Rabbonon who spoke about less than three and Rav Shimon ben Gamliel spoke about less than four, are consistent with their general Shita, their general rule regarding the size or the definition of lavud. According to Rabbanan, lavud means something attached. So that if the gap in the fence that's illustrated in 98 is less than three tvachim, so it's considered lavud. It's considered closed, attached. The two edges are considered touching each other, hence it's closed and an effective mechitza. According to Shlomo Leo, you have up till, not including, but up till four tvachim to be considered lovud. We continue with the Mishnah, and this Mishnah opens up with that which we've learned in the past, hence there's a throwback diagram-wise to diagram 40. And you'll find that back on page 173 in the Pirush Chai. Gizustro shi lamalo min amayim. A platform, a balcony that's located or suspended above water. Ein mimalin him, Shabbos. One cannot draw water from below up till the balcony. Elohim came osu la mechitza v'asor tfochim, unless a fence was made of 10 tfochim height, bein milamalo, bein milamata. You can see in illustrations 40 and 41. In 41, you can see a case of a mechitza lamala, the upper balcony there. And in illustration 40, you see an example of a mechitza lamata that extends below the gezuster, the balcony. Continuing in the Mishnah, v'chein shtei gezustro su lamala mizu. This is illustrated in 41. Osu l'elyoina v'lo osu l'tachtoina. If the upper one made a mechitza and the lower one did not, shtehen asuros ad shiarvu. The ability to draw water is restricted for both of them until they make an eruv, until they join together. Let us look at the Rashi. Shtehen asuros. We're looking at Rashi that you'll find under the Gemara text. Three lines under the Gemara text. Shtehen asuros. Lamalos benekev elyoino. They cannot draw from the hole in the upper courtyard, upper balcony, ad shiarvu, till they make an eruv. Atachtona benekev shelo ein tzorch lomar shiasura. The lower balcony certainly cannot draw from the hole there. So mikarmelis lushus hayochid kol memale. They would be drawing from a karmelis to a rishus hayochid, which is strictly forbidden. The Gemara. Masnisin, the Mishnah, that is matir drawing only if they made a mechitza, is delo kechananya ben Akavya. It's not like him. We saw this earlier. He says that even without an actual mechitza, we still apply the concept of imaginary mechitzas. If you recall, we had the case of the hole made in a platform, and you imagined the sides of the platform coming down, forming a mechitza, and it's in your mind's eye. Our Mishnah talks about the making of an actual mechitza. Desanya Chananya ben Akavya Omer Gezustra Shi Sheish Bo Dalet Al Dalet Amos. The board that has the measure of 4x4 amos or 24x24 tvachim, chokek bo dalet al dalet male. You make a hole in the middle of it, measuring 4x4 tvachim, and draw from it. And this is what we have seen in our previous shiur illustration 81 was what Chananya had been speaking about. But we over here in this Mishnah are saying you have to make an actual mechitza, not just an imaginary mechitza. Omar Rabbi Yochanan Mishum Rabbi Yossi ben Zimra. We look at illustration 83. Lo hitir Rabbi Chananya ben Akavya elo biyomo shel teverya. The leniency of the imaginary walls, just having a board of 24 by 24 tvachim and a hole in the middle of 4 by 4 tvachim, that being all you have to do, that heter, that leniency is restricted, is elobi yomashot tveria. It's restricted to a board, a platform placed in the Tiberias Sea, the Yam HaKineret. Why? Hoyo v'yeshla ogenim v'yoros v'karpifos makifos osa. Since the Lake of Tiberias, the Yoma Shilferia, already has a rim around it, as you can see in illustration 83, if you can notice the Aleph, the banks, and it has cities, and it has other enclosed areas all around the lake. So there's already additional forms of enclosure, therefore the imaginary enclosure formed by the platform is enough. Avo b'shar meimos lo, but Chananya ben Akavya's leniency would not extend to other bodies of water, and the impression that that Rabbi Yochanan gives us, that there isn't really any, there might not be a machlokas whatsoever, or if there is, it's very limited between Hananiah ben Akavya and our Mishnah. If there's any machlokas, then it would be, as we said, very limited, because his idea, that's Hananiah ben Akavya's idea of an imaginary mechitza being formed through koif, the good ochis, is limited to the case of the Yamashel Tveria. Tana Rabbanan, Shloisha Dvarim Hitir Rabbi Hananiah ben Akavya L'Anshei Tveria. There are three things that Rabbi Hananiah ruled in a lenient fashion for the people of Tveria. Number one, Memalin Mayim Igzustra B'Shabbos. One can fill water up through the platform that we mentioned, provided it measures 4x4 amos. V'tomnin Be'etza. This is a Shabbos, another Shabbos halacha regarding hatmona. This is wrapping hot pots, wrapping pots in material that will preserve the heat. So Eitzah is found in Rashi, three lines from the bottom of Rashi. The Tomnin Perusen VeEitzah Psolis Kitnis. This is a residue of kitnis. Kitnis is some type of vegetation, legume possibly, and after you extract from it the edible part, the remaining part is the residue, the psoles, and we call it eitzah. V'afapi shiloktoi minasode b'hashkoma v'atal olov, and here's the main point of the heter of Rabbi Hananiah ben Akavya. Even though the eitzah was harvested from the field early in the morning, v'atal olov, Ein machshirnas haperos. We have to just correct a mistake we made when we described tomnin as a preservation of heat of pots. That's a mistake, but rather it's an ability. It's he allowed them to wrap their fruits in eitzah, even though the eitzah itself was damp, was wet. The wetness is not machshir the fruits to be makabel tuma. Fruits, in order for them to be susceptible to absorbing ritual impurity, the fruits would have to be wet. In other words, if you washed off a fruit to get it clean, that would make the fruit susceptible because you wanted it to be wet. Here, he is wrapping the fruits with this eitzah that happens to have dew on it, but the wetness that's imparted to the fruits that you're enwrapping in this eitzah is not a wetness that will cause the fruits to be susceptible to kabbalas tumah. It's not makshir them lekabal tumah. And the third thing that he allowed, umistapkin ba'alontis. Alontis is a towel. He allowed them to, after coming out of a pool of water from a bathhouse, he allowed them to wipe themselves dry with a towel. This brings up the issue of what about a chashash schita? About, is there not a possibility they might come to squeeze out the towel? Nevertheless, he was mekil. The Gemara now goes over these points that we already elaborated on, and here on the side of the Gemara there are no same heading to see the double underline is featured. Gimel Dvarim Hitir Reb Hananiah ben Akavya La'anshei Tveria. So let's go over the points. Memalin Mayim B'Gezusra B'Shabbos Hod Amoran. This is something we already discussed, the platform with the hole in it. Number two, V'Toimnin B'Eitzah Mayhi. What's that a reference to? The Sanya. Here is a Tanaic source that deals with the issue of creating a situation or being fruits being susceptible to becoming tomei. Hishkim lahavi psolis. A person woke up early in the morning to bring in from the field psolis, residue of grains, and he wants to use this residue material for storing within it his fruits. So he gets up early in the morning to gather in the psolis. Im bishvil sheshel of tal hare hu b'chiyutan. If he woke up early in the morning because he wanted to catch the residue while it still had the dew on it, he wants the wetness. He's interested in the wetness and the dampness. And that wetness will then be imparted to the fruits that he wraps in this psoles. That will cause the fruits to be susceptible for tuma absorption, and that's what we call b'chiyutan. It's an expression based on the words of the Torah that deal with machshir lekabel tuma. The im b'shvil shelivatim lachto, if he woke up early simply so that he can save time during his working hours, in other words, he's able to gather the psoles without encroaching on his working hours. He's, in other words, the waking up early is not to catch the dew, so to speak, on the psoles, simply to save time later on that he can spend all his time working. Eino b'chi yutan. So the dampness under those circumstances that would be imparted to his fruits would not be machshir the fruits that are wrapped in the psoles to be makabel tumo. Ustam anshei teveria, the standard folk of Teveria, they were artisans, they were craftsmen, and they were, we call, balei malacha. Therefore, their waking up in the morning is kamisha lo yivatim lach d'domi, and therefore, the fruits wrapped by the anshei Teveria in the wet psoles would not machshir their fruits to makabel tumah. Because once again, they were not interested in the dampness per se. They were simply interested in waking up early so as to save time from their work day. What is that a reference to, this issue of the wiping with the towel? The Sanya, we have a Tanaic source. This is Shabbos related. It says, Mistapigon balontis. A person, if he happened to be in a body of water, he happened to be exposed to water, he can wipe himself dry with a towel on Yom Tov or on Shabbos. Here, we're not getting into how is it that a person was exposed to the water. That's something Rashi touches on a bit, but we're focusing right now on the use of the towel for wiping oneself dry. So the source says you can do that, and mistapik is to wipe yourself dry. The alontis is the towel, umanicha b'chalon, and place it in the window. When you finish using it, you place it in your window. V'lo yimsereno lalairin, but don't give it over to the bath attendants. They shechashuno osadavar. They are suspect of wringing out the wet towels. And wringing out towels is, I guess, you involved with a problem called schita, according to Rashi, and therefore we don't want to tempt them into this sin. Rav Shimon Omer af mevia biyodoi l'soich beso. Rashi adds to this, af mevia biyodoi v'ein chushin shemo yishkach v'yischot. We allow you to not just to leave the towel in the window where you happen to have bathed, but you can bring the towel all the way home. Of course, assuming it's if it's Yom Tov, so there's no problem of carrying it. If it's Shabbos, so it would have to be a place where there is an Eruv. Now, what's Reb Shimon's point? And Shimon's point is that we don't make a gzera that you'll come to forget and squeeze it out. Omar Rabo bar Rav Huna, loy shonu elo lemalois. Our Mishnah, where the Rabbonin were matir, using a mechitza tluya, the gzustra that extended over some water. So the Mishnah mentioned that if a mechitza was made, so you can draw water from it. So Rabbo Rav Huna says that this halacha is only lamalos, as we said, drawing water to fill up water. Aval lishpoch aser. Before we go any further, we should note that we have a topic heading for this section of Gemara, and also a structural note that accompanies this. You notice in the Gemara there is a Roman numeral 1 and a few lines later, number 2, and an ikot the Amri that's squiggle underlined. So on the side we have written Shnei Lishonos. There are two versions, Binyan Shvichas Mayim, Derech Mechitza Tluya, two versions regarding this issue of pouring water out through a suspended Mechitza, HaMechuberes Ligzustro, that's attached to the balcony. So, version number 1 says that the heter of the mechitza tluya is only with regard to drawing water up through the hole surrounded by the mechitza. However, lishpoch also, but to pour wastewater down through the hole, that is forbidden. And Rashi says, avo lishpoch shofchim benekev l'mayim osur, because the river that's found underneath this balcony will carry away the water that I just poured out. So I'm pouring water down. I would be pouring water down to be carried away from under my mechitza, being beyond the what we call the rishus hayochid, and that's also. The Gemara continues. Maskevul Rav Shizvi v'chi ma bein. Now, uka is really something that's featured in the next Mishnah. So, let us first take a look at Rashi. Ma bein ze le'uka, dislam ben masnisen. We will be taught later in the Mishnah, chotzer shepchusa me'arba amos, a very squalid type of courtyard. It's less than 4 by 4 amos. Ein shofen le'soicha mayim b'shabbos. You cannot pour water into this courtyard. Elim kein osula uka, unless you made an uka. What's an uka? Guma. It's a pit. Machzek is sosaim. It's a pit that holds 2 se'ah. V'toni Allah afapi shenismala ha'uka miboid yoim. And we will be taught that even if this pit that's in the courtyard is filled with water on Friday, you can pour your water, your wastewater, into this pit that's full. Even though, what's going to happen if you pour water into a full pit? The water's going to run out of this small courtyard right into the Rishus HaRabim. And we are allowing that. So why are you saying that I cannot pour my wastewater down through the hole in the Gzustra, even if the river's going to carry it further, carry it beyond? So the Gemara answers. There's a difference between the case of the river and the case of the uka. Again, the Gemara here is very terse. It says, Hani taimi, vahani lo taimi. Let's go immediately to the Rashi. Hosam taimi maya. Hamayim asuim l'chalus ulivolo bakarka. In the case of the pit, let's say the pit were empty. We will learn later that if one pours his wastewater into a pit that holds 2 saw, the water will get absorbed into the pit and won't end up. It won't go into the Rishus HaRabim whatsoever. Hilkach, Rashi goes on, ki shafich, when you are pouring into the uka, adaito d'livlu b'duchdayu ko shafich. Your intention is that the water should be absorbed in that spot. And if it happens to flow out into the court, into the Rishus HaRabim, that's not in his mind. And if it happens to flow out of the uka, that's not a fulfillment of his intent. His intent was for the water to be absorbed in the pit. The shari, and it's allowed. The afilu ichven, even if he had intention for it to flow out of the courtyard, there isn't any actual prohibition because he poured into a private domain. Avol hocha, in the case of the Gzustra, meida yediya devadai nafki velo taimi. You know it's not going to be absorbed into anything. You're pouring into a river that happens to be below this balcony. So it's, you know for sure it's going to flow beyond and not get absorbed into anything. So that's why this case of the Gzustra over the river is worse than the case of pouring into an uka that, even if it happens to be filled, and the water ending up in Rishus HaRabim. Now we go back to the Gemara. Ikod Yamri. Now another version. Omar Rabba Barafuna, lo teimol lamalos hu deshori lishbochoser. This is just the opposite of the previous lashon. Don't say that the heter with the gzustra involves only drawing water and not pouring out water, wastewater down into the river through the hole in the gzustra. Ela lishboch nami shori. In fact, it's mutter to pour down through the hole the wastewater. Rashi explains, "Avfilu lishboch nami shori, the ihu lo ichpas le lifluvroi." He has no concern. He doesn't care if the water flows downstream, goes out. Avol chotzer hapchusa me'arba amos. In a case of a courtyard less than 4 amos, nicho le the lepok lebar shelo yalach leches chatzero. He actually wants the water to go out into the public thoroughfare so that his courtyard doesn't become dirty with his wastewater. Hilkoch boy uka. Therefore, in such a case, we require the pit. Debuuka nichole livlu. In such a case, he's happy that the water gets absorbed into the uka. So we turn back to the Gemara. Omar Rav Shizvi. Again, we're continuing in version number 2. Rav Shizvi, upon hearing Rabbah's halacha that you're allowed to pour the wastewater down through the gzustra, Rav Shizvi here says pshita hainu uka. Well, that's obvious. Is this not the same as the case of the uka? Just like in the case of the uka, you're allowed to pour into the uka your wastewater. Here too, you're allowed to pour through the gzustra your wastewater. So the Gemara says it's not obvious. In other words, even if I know the case of uka, that doesn't mean I would be able to figure out an allowance of pouring out the wastewater through the gzustra. Mahu de temo, hani taimi, fahani lo taimi. I might have thought in the case of the uka, the water is expected to get absorbed in the spot, in that uka, and remain essentially in the Rishus HaYochid the whole time. That's what one anticipates happening. In the case of the gzustra, you're pouring into a live, flowing body of water. There's no absorption whatsoever to speak about. And therefore, there's room to think that the gzustra would not be allowed. Chomash Malon, therefore, it's necessary for Rabo Bar Rav Huna to tell me that even though in the case of the gzustra it's lo taimi, it's still permitted to pour the wastewater through the gzustra. Before we close, let us just remind you that we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. With that, we conclude our shiur for today.